SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We are here Wednesday, January 26th. We have lots of news flying around with head coaching vacancies in the NFL, lots of interviews taking place. The Jaguars hired Byron Leftwich, then they didn't hire Byron Leftwich, and they're still trying to figure out the terms. The Bears signed the assistant GM away from Kansas City. George just threw out the idea of them hiring Eric Bieniemy after this is all over. So lots going on in the world of the NFL. But of course, our Wednesday headlines here start with the NBA. The Suns at the Jazz headline tonight's 10-game slate. These two teams did just play. Pretty interesting because the Suns are very much flying high. The Utah Jazz are struggling. We have Providence, number 17, at number one Xavier, headlining tonight's college basketball slate. A little bit of baseball news here. The White Sox signed Cuban outfielder Oscar Colas, and the Ravens, I think this one's pretty interesting, nearing an extension with John Harbaugh. Kind of interesting because his brother also, I think, is, Jim Harbaugh, it's probably about time for him to get back to the NFL. I don't know. I mean, he's got a very good gig in college, but George, I have heard Jim Harbaugh's name thrown out there for some of these head coaching vacancies in the NFL.
Yeah, we've heard him out there for the Raiders. Brought that up about 2 weeks ago, that they're after him, which makes some sense here because I think Davis does want, Mark Davis, the owner, does want to make a splash. So I wonder if that could work there. And you said it, though. You know, if I'm Jim, I don't know if I'm making the change. You got a nice, comfortable, you know what you're doing there. Things don't always go well, but you know what you're doing. Unless you dislike it there, I'm probably not making this move. But if you do want to come back to the NFL, you want to be up against your brother again, okay. You can go do a lot worse than the Raiders. They'll spend money. Vegas, warm weather, you know, Sin City, Dome Stadium. What's not to like here? Yeah, you know, it's really not like if he does want to come back to the NFL, it makes sense. And let's face it, you'll get paid. You know, you may think, I don't know what he was making at Michigan, but you'll get paid somewhere close to that. So you're not going to be crying for money here. So I listen, I'd like to see him back. I would. I think it'd be funny to have the two brothers head coaching again. But I'd be very careful if I was him to come back. I would. But I wonder if he is going to be back. And if he is back, I think it's Raiders or bust.
Yeah, and it is sort of strange. I mean, we are sitting here on January 26th. We did just talk about, some of those head coaching openings, but it is crazy. We still don't have these position fields. The Texans is not filled. We don't have a conclusion on the Jaguars. Does sound like Nathaniel Hackett is potentially going to get hired by the Denver Broncos. I mean, what do we think about that, right? So Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, gets hired in Denver. Given how their season just ended, do we think that increases or decreases their odds to get Aaron Rodgers there in Denver?
Has to increase. All right. I don't think Hackett would know for sure about Rodgers. I don't. But I think they would know that, yes, the relationship is very good here. Yeah, and it gives us a better chance to get Aaron Rodgers. And listen, if Aaron Rodgers does want to leave Green Bay, personally, I don't think he should. You know, it's part of the fan in me. I like seeing guys stay on the same team, you know, for the entire career, of course. That's always a good not a Broncos fan either. Maybe that's a reason. But, you know, as we welcome in our radio audience, once again, Fantasy Sports Today, he's Davis Maddock. I'm George Kurtz. As for Aaron Rodgers, you know what you got in Green Bay. All right, yeah, they've got some salary cap issues there, but you're not losing Devontae Adams. You're not losing your main pieces there. And you're in a division where Detroit's not ready to compete with you. Even if Chicago does hire Bieniemy, they're not ready to compete with you. Minnesota, maybe, but they're not you. They're not Green Bay. You're going to win that division, or at the very least, you're making the playoffs again. You go to Denver. That's Pat Mahomes. That's Herbert. That's just in your same division. Not to mention Burrow and Josh Allen that you got to worry about to get back to the Super Bowl. NFC East is an easier path. You know, other than Tom Brady, who we don't know if he's coming back either, there's no one there to really stop you as far as the quarterback position is concerned here. So I'd be very careful if I'm Aaron Rodgers. But that being said, Your question was, is this a good thing or bad thing as far as getting Rodgers to Denver? I'm not saying this clinches it. I'm not saying that at all. But there's no way they would do that without knowing, all right, this gives us a better chance. You know, once again, we're putting up the percentages here to get Aaron Rodgers here. Gives us a better chance.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've gone through, you know, many different elements of thinking about the Broncos job, but I don't think it's that attractive. So you have to play in the same division as Mahomes, right? Four straight AFC conference championships, probably going to make the Super Bowl again. You have to play in the same division as Justin Herbert, who hasn't made the playoffs yet, but I think we're all aligned that Justin Herbert is going to be a real problem in the years to come. And I mean, look, the Raiders just made the playoffs. Derek Carr, not great. Raiders roster, not great. But they're an 8-win team. It's not the same thing as playing in a division, you know, with the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears or the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Houston Texans. It's a lot different, I think, playing there. So I think you're right. I think staying in the NFC, I mean, is there a team that is more set up to win the division year after year after year than the Green Bay Packers? The Lions are hopeless. The Bears, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe this new GM head coach combo will finally get them sorted out. The Vikings new GM, maybe they'll get them sorted out. But it's just been a cakewalk for the Packers. So lots of interesting stuff going on there. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, I will be rejoined by our producer, Brett Levy, to discuss NBA DFS on FanDuel. So don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. See you back in just a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock. I am joined in this segment by our producer, Brett Levy. We are going to take a look at FanDuel NBA DFS tonight. We have a massive slate here, 10 games here on Wednesday. Some fairly prominent injuries that we're going to be dealing with. Gordon Hayward, questionable for Charlotte. The Clippers continue to have wing guys out. There are four guys listed questionable for the Kings. I did just see right before we got on that Tyler Herro is now listed as probable as he works his way back off of the COVID list with conditioning. So lots of different avenues for us to explore here. And Brett, let's just go ahead and get into it on FanDuel with your backcourt guys.
Yeah, so Davis, tonight the Orlando Magic are taking on the LA Clippers. Clippers obviously exerted a lot of energy last night coming back from 35 points down. So I'm starting off here with Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner in the backcourt. I think there'll be lots of opportunities for them to get baskets tonight, hopefully going up against some tired legs. Gabe Vincent has been playing big minutes as of late for the Miami Heat with Kyle Lowry, kind of missing some games for personal reasons, I think, is why he's been out. So I don't really know what is going on with Kyle Lowry or when we can expect him back, but Gabe Vincent, the beneficiary there. And my guy Davis of the last week, Caris LeVert for the Indiana Pacers. Pacers extremely beat up. No Sabonis tonight, no Miles Turner tonight, no Malcolm Brogdon tonight. McConnell obviously out with his knee injury, and TJ Warren we haven't seen since the bubble. So six Pacers on the injured list tonight. Plenty of opportunities for Caris LeVert, Duarte. I'm sure Dwayne Washington, all these guys will have plenty of shot attempts tonight, Davis.
Yeah, I definitely think you are right. Suggs has been, a little bit up and down for him as a rookie, but the field goal attempts are really starting to show up there. Of course, Franz Wagner, always going to be interesting to our guy Brett Levy, who loves Franz. I guess I should mention, Cole Anthony is sitting there at 5,300 as well. He's eligible at point guard and shooting guard. think he's a little bit interesting. We could see some of the Dallas Mavericks guys who are eligible here at the guard positions. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith is sitting there at 4,300. Jalen Brunson there at 5,400. They could go, I mean, they're playing against Portland, so they could go very small against Portland, who are playing Simons and McCollum together and play small to begin with. So those are some of the interesting names there. Let's go ahead and move to the front court now on FanDuel. Who do we have here?
Yeah, so I'm going back to that Heat-Knicks game, Davis. Caleb Martin, the guy I worked with in Charlotte. I know him and Cody, you know, both hard workers at my time in Charlotte with them. So Caleb Martin getting some run here for the Miami Heat. Again, you mentioned Tyler Herro, now probable. When I filled this out, he was questionable. So, you know, I thought there was a little bit more opportunity for Caleb Martin. Maybe I take him out of my lineup as we get closer to game time. James Harden for the Brooklyn Nets. Look, the Nets have one guy at home. It's James Harden. They don't have Kyrie. They're without Kevin Durant for a while. No Nick Claxton tonight either for the Brooklyn Nets, Davis. So James Harden, I know it's a big number. He had a triple-double last night. I guess I'm buying in a little high. But going up against Nikola Jokic, they're going to need everything they can get out of James Harden. He might not even sit tonight. Obviously, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it'll certainly feel like that. Then Bam Adebayo going up against the Knicks. Again, Davis, I pointed out a bunch on this show that the Knicks defense took a big step back this year. It's contributed to part of their, you know, problems and why they're not as high up in the standings as they were a year ago, where they were a top four seed. Now they're kind of a middling Eastern Conference team, but Bam Adebayo, you know, assuming Mitchell is still a little beat up or not 100%, I think he's a much better player than Nerlens Noel. I think he's a much better player than Taj Gibson, so I like Adebayo in this matchup. Jaren Jackson Jr. coming off a very quiet night for Jaren Jackson Jr., hoping for a little bit of a bounce back here. And they play San Antonio tonight, Davis, so I'm not really too worried about who's going to be guarding him. And then I didn't have very much money left over, so I'm taking a shot here. Precious Achiuwa was playing a lot of bulk minutes while Gary Trent Jr. was out and the Raptors were fighting through some injury issues. Raptors on a back-to-back, played a good competitive game last night. Maybe they extend their rotation a little bit tonight and Precious Achiuwa gets over the 20-minute hump again. Don't have a real great feel on it. You know, I'm taking a shot here, writing a narrative and filling out the story. So, look, I think it's reasonable to expect the Raptors on the second night of a back-to-back extend their rotations a little bit, but I'm not going to go out there and tell everyone you have to play Precious Achiuwa because he's going to play 25 minutes tonight. That would be a little too bold, but he's a guy I think you can spend down to because, you know, again, back-to-back, you know, he's a guy Nick Nurse clearly trusts when the rotation's tighter. So he might go to him first off the bench versus some of these other younger players.
Yeah, and they played their massive lineup last night. So not only did Fred VanVleet not play, but Scottie Barnes with a right wrist injury did not play as well. They'd actually been, I mean, Scottie Barnes is basically a power forward, but they've been playing him as the point guard with Fred VanVleet out. So they started Siakam, Boucher, Achiuwa, and Anunoby all together. So that's four guys who have basically played power forward or center. They started them all last night against the Hornets with Gary Trent Jr. as the only guard in there. Gary Trent Jr., by the way, massive game last night against the Charlotte Hornets. Took 21 shots, 32 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Big game for Siakam as well. 24 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. I'm really looking at that Toronto Raptors rotation tonight, because if VanVleet misses again and Barnes misses again, I think all of those starters are in play. But if Barnes plays and Fred VanVleet doesn't play, I think Barnes is very interesting as a guy who is going to handle more, you know, more of the ball than he normally would. And they barely played anyone off the bench. Utah Watanabe played 22 minutes. Malachi Flynn played 26 minutes as the backup point guard behind Gary Trent Jr. Delano Banton played 17 minutes as well. Let's look at this Denver Brooklyn situation? I mean, are there any of the Nets guys that you think are interesting here? Because, you know, basically right now what's happening is Harden is having to do it all. Sometimes LaMarcus will have a good game. Sometimes Patty Mills will hop in there. Have any of these Nets rotation guys impressed you at all? You know, Kessler Edwards has been fine. Dayron Sharpe has been okay. But has anyone really leapt off the page to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, Dayron Sharpe has been really good for the Nets, I think. But I think the Nets, kind of to your point, Davis, without their stars, like, they're just like a young average NBA team. They could, you know, be competitive on certain nights. They have a lot of young talent with Edwards and Duke and Dayron Sharpe, Cam Thomas. You know, these were all top prospects within the last 2 or 3 years. So it's not like they're not bringing in good players, young players. But yeah, there's a big drop off in talent. I think of the guys you listed, maybe Patty Mills is the most interesting. You know, I saw something the other day, like when he's shooting, or I guess in his last 15 games, he shot seven threes. In those 15 games, he's made at least three. So in about 15 of them. So pretty much a lock, like he's shooting about 50% from three when he's taking a bunch. So that's a good sign for Brooklyn. They're going to need him firing tonight to keep pace with Jokic.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, everyone. So there is a good look at NBA DFS tonight on FanDuel. If you are playing, make sure to head over to dailyroto.com. It's all free, projections, optimizing tools, everything you need. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on FST. George Kurtz will be back with me in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And as is becoming increasingly frequent here on the show, we are turning our eyes towards fantasy football next season, 2022. Of course, all of us are in our dynasty leagues, but every year, right about this time before the Super Bowl, I participate in a $77 best ball draft on the FFPC. With a bunch of grinders in the industry, we sort of do the first big competitive best ball draft of the year, basically just to sort of, you know, where are we going to land? You know, who are we into? Who are we not into? And, you know, kind of compare those results to what ends up happening when we're all drafting in August and September. And as I went through, I sort of noticed that there are going to be a couple flashpoints where choosing one of two teammates is going to be very interesting to what happens in final ADP. And so we're going to go ahead and run through four pairings of these teammates. And the first one, this is the one I think is the most fascinating, George, but we have the Green Bay Packers running backs, and we have A.J. Dillon versus Aaron Jones. So I have two questions here, and this can go for all of them. And those questions are going to be, which one goes first in drafts? Which one would you rather have? And, you know, just sort of your general opinion on how the situation breaks out.
Yeah, my general opinion is this is going to be a nightmare. That's what my general opinion is here. Because no longer can you just take Dillon as the quasi-handcuff there. He's very good in his own right here, and he's going to be drafted as an RB2 in a lot of leagues. I'm still going to draft Aaron Jones first, but no longer a first rounder or a consideration of a first rounder because Dillon's there, and Dillon could be the goal line guy at the very that'll be like one of his roles there because, let's face it, he's a monster. There's a reason why they call him Quadzilla there. Big man, tough to take down. So I think he's going to get his share of touchdowns. Also, we got to remember, what's your theory about Aaron Rodgers? You're drafted now. I mean, Rodgers said he'll make up his mind before free agency, before the new year starts to help out Green Bay. But if you don't think Rodgers is going to be there, then neither one's as valuable as they were. That also comes into consideration here. I will draft Jones likely first. I think he'll be the guy that'll still get more touches, catching the ball out of the backfield, especially as well. Once again, I assume you play in a PPR league. Like I said, I don't know if anyone plays in a still league anymore. If you do, then I'm probably changing my mind to Dillon. But PPR for me is when I answer all of these questions. I'll go Jones first here, but I'm not arguing with anybody who's going Dillon. I'm not, but I think Jones is going to get more touches here. He'll get a smattering of touchdowns as well here. Tough call here, but give me Jones first.
Yep, I'm mostly aligned with you. I do wonder, I mean, obviously this situation is going to be very impacted by who is quarterbacking the Green Bay Packers in 2022. You know, if it's Jordan Love, I actually wonder if having the worst quarterback is better for A.J. Dillon, because that would make them more of a run-first team. When you have Aaron Rodgers, you want to throw the ball a ton. You want to throw the ball to your running backs a ton. So if Jordan Love is the quarterback, if Jameis Winston is the quarterback, if Andy Dalton is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, you know, one of these replacement-level guys, I do wonder if A.J. Dillon does get a little bit larger of a run. And it is sort of interesting. You know, you are right. You're not drafting A.J. Dillon as a handcuff anymore. He had 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns this season with 34 receptions. I mean, he was a legit RB2 this season. And the usage was not very predictable, but he more than did his job where he was drafted, especially for, you know, best ball leagues where you don't have to pick when you want to start him. So our next pairing is the Los Angeles Rams wide receivers. Fascinating situation here. Obviously, Cooper Kupp, first round pick, you know, maybe the second overall pick, third overall pick, one of the best fantasy seasons of all time, over 400 fantasy points. I mean, he just blew the doors off everyone. But when Robert Woods was healthy, he was still getting a good amount of work. Woods and Beckham barely played together because Woods immediately tore his ACL. We are assuming that Odell is going to be back with the Rams. I think there are outs at the end of his contract. And we have also seen, I think, the return of Cam Akers so quickly from his torn Achilles. That just gives me a lot of faith in the Rams medical department. So I'm not going to be surprised if Woods is ready by week one. How do you see things breaking out between these two in 2022?
Well, I'd be surprised if Woods isn't ready by week one. He had the surgery almost 2 months ago. He should be ready. You can get out by training camp to go here. It's generally a 6 to 8 month surgery. Maybe it might even be better nowadays. Now, I don't know. Remember if he had the cadaver graft or the patella graft. Cadaver graft is what it sounds like, by the way. You take the ligament from a cadaver. It will heal faster, but greater chance of infection there. But generally with pro athletes, they elect to go that direction because, once again, you heal faster there. Patella graft is really where they take the middle part of your patella and they take that. They have to hurt you to help you. I know about this because I had it done and I had the choice. I chose the patella graft because of the infection problem. I mean, I'm not going to be around a doctor or a team all the time to take a look at this to make sure it's healing correctly. So it is what it is. So I expect Woods to be back and be able to play. Now, one thing about this injury, you can come back next year, but unless you're Adrian Peterson, it really is about 2 years before you feel back to normal here. So there is that to consider. Now, Beckham is a free agent. There's no outs at the end of his contract. He signed a one-year deal. They have a lot of incentives. He is a free agent. I don't think he's going back to the Rams. You know, I don't think he's going to get a mega deal, but he's going to get paid. You know, so I don't think he's going to be able to go. I don't think the Rams are going to be able to afford him. I think they'd like him back. I do think they would like him back. So let's just say for argument's sake that he does go back here. Yeah, I want Beckham. I want Beckham. You know, I liked Woods, but Woods got to a slow start this season, if we remember. He started to come on just as he got hurt, which if you're a Robert Woods owner, was so unfortunate there. But Beckham, boy, he was a red zone target there. He's getting more and more comfortable. We can see it now with Matthew Stafford. If in a dynasty league, if you have Beckham, you want him to stay with Stafford and the Rams, you do. You know, he may be more of a number one on another team, depending on where he goes. But we don't know how that chemistry is going to be again. What if it's not working out? Are we going to hear from his father? Does he want to leave again? You know, the guy that seems to burn down a lot of places where he's at, it's working with the Rams. I want him to stay with the Rams. So I would rather have Beckham. Is Beckham, Woods, and Kupp? I'd rather have Beckham at this point. I'm not going to play the game of, is Woods healthy? Can he play a full spattering of snaps? How's the ACL? You know, does he have a setback? Is he that guy anymore? Does Stafford, remember, this could have been Stafford's first year with Woods as well. There wasn't a thing there. It took a long time. You know, maybe that heats up again. I'm going to go Beckham. I know what I'm getting here between Stafford and Beckham.
Yep, I'm with you. I want Beckham as well. That's my guy. I think, you know, a lot of the concerns about his performance in Cleveland were overblown, and I think we learned that pretty much immediately here in LA. Now, I think this is the most fascinating one. Hunter Renfrow versus Darren Waller for the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, you just look at these guys, right? Look at them jogging out on the field, and you're like, oh, give me Waller. 10 out of 10. I want Waller on all my fantasy teams. There's no way this little pipsqueak guy from Clemson is better than this guy. But Hunter Renfrow was unbelievable this year in fantasy football. I mean, just really unbelievable. 103 receptions, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. I think it's going to be hard for Waller, even with the bonus of being a tight end, to go ahead of Renfrow in drafts this next year.
I would agree. I would agree. I think you're also your problem is going to be is Derek Carr going to be there? He's in the final year of his contract. And I think he is going to end up staying there, but he's going to want to make a deal. He's not Rodgers and those guys, but he's the next tier down. He's going to want to get paid. Are the Raiders going to want to do that? Or are they a team that goes, you know what? Pittsburgh didn't get a quarterback of Frazier. Maybe we could trade Carr to Pittsburgh, that sort of thing. Not that I would really hate Carr going to Pittsburgh because some receivers there anyway. Maybe it's New Orleans. We can go on and on and on there where this could end up happening. Renfrow is your Wes Welker, your Julian Edelman. You know, that's what he is. He's not necessarily a guy who's going to run a deep pass, but he's going to catch a truckload of balls. He's always open, it seems like. Always open, right? He probably doesn't get the credit he deserves here. Now, I like Darren Waller. I do. This season, coming into this season, I thought he was going to have a better year than he did. This is before the injury, by the way. He started off great and then really tailed off for like 4 or 8 weeks where he wasn't doing anything. You know, at least not doing much. Why? Were teams trying to take him away? Which maybe it was because they don't have much else there. You know, they were trying to take him out, forcing the ball to Renfrow, to Zay Jones, whoever it might be there. I'm gonna go Renfrow here. I think he's the guy I want. I'm hoping he'll actually slip in some drafts because he's not the sexy pick. He's not the guy who's gonna catch 70-yard bombs. But I'm going Renfrow here. I think he'll be more consistent on a week-to-week basis.
Yep, I'm with you. And then our final one here, it feels like this is a tale as old as time. DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett? Let's assume Russell Wilson is a quarterback. You can give your answer for if there's a different quarterback. I'm a Metcalf guy. Lockett generally has, you know, the better spike weeks, but I will always be a Metcalf guy.
I don't think there's any doubt that Metcalf is the better overall player. I don't. But if Wilson's there, I'm probably going Lockett. I don't know what happened between Wilson and Metcalf this season. You know, I made all the jokes about, you know, maybe Metcalf hit on Sierra, whatever it might be. But it was weird. The way Wilson just wasn't looking in his direction. Was the protection wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad when he never enough time to look at him. Just very strange here. So if Wilson is there, give me Lockett. If he's not there, I probably don't care who the quarterback is. I'm going Metcalf. You know, and I don't think Wilson's going to be there, by the way. So if I had to answer this question in a vacuum, I'm going Metcalf either way. I think it's a different quarterback next year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, it just seems like the relationship between Pete Carroll and John Dorsey and Russell Wilson has it's just become so fractured, right? I mean, it's like no one in the Seahawks organization enjoyed their football this year, right? Just no one. Pete Carroll wasn't happy coming into work. John Dorsey wasn't happy coming into work. Russell Wilson certainly wasn't happy. So, you know, we'll end up seeing there. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back, we are going to have everyone's favorite game on TV, Fantasy or Reality with George Kurtz and Brett Levy. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. We will see you back here in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into fantasy or reality, I need to remind everyone to please follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. You'll be able to keep up with all the injury news, notes, highlights, analysis, Pharrell Coast to Coast, in-game live, Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, George Kurtz, Greg Mish, all the content that you're going to need for your fantasy sports teams and all of your sports wagering. And look, George, you know, we're sitting here. It's January 26th, and the Dallas Cowboys are still technically employing Mike McCarthy. I kind of thought, did you kind of think McCarthy was going to be fired? I sort of thought that that shoe was going to drop, but I think we are due for another year of Mr. McCarthy in charge of our favorite football team.
No, I didn't think he was going to be fired. That'd be Jerry Jones admitting he made another mistake. All right, how long did he keep Jason Garrett for? And that was terrible. All right, he's not going to fire McCarthy after 2 years. Like I said, he'd be admitting he made a mistake. And Davis, this is what I tell every Cowboy fan. Would it matter? He's just going to hire the next idiot. All right, he's not going to hire anybody that's truly deserving. We want Sean Payton, right? That's all we want now is Sean Payton. But Payton's going to want more control than Jerry wants to give. So I don't know if he's coming either. I'd like him to, absolutely. But that's my whole thing here. I don't think it would matter. He would just hire the next coach that we don't want anyway. He's going to hire people that he can control, that want, that will allow him to be part of, you know, I want to be in on the meetings. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's what he wants to do. And it's all the coaches he's going to hire. He's not going to hire anybody like a Bill Parcells type, who's the last guy like this, who's going to tell him, get the hell out of here. Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It is disappointing, but you're right. You know, they'd hire, I don't know, they'd hire some loser, Urban Meyer, someone like that. You know, they don't. Jerry doesn't want to hire the best and the brightest. I mean, he likes to hire the best coordinators, but he doesn't like to hire the best head coaches because he likes to have a direct line in there. Brandon Staley, never going to be coaching the Dallas Football Cowboys. Now, let's go ahead and be joined by our producer, Brett Levy, for Fantasy or Reality.
All right, George. Well, we wrote some hockey into the show today because we knew you were going to be on. So we'll start off with you for this one. Keith Yandel broke the NHL's Ironman record earlier in the week, playing the most consecutive games anyone has ever played in the NHL. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. When it's all said and done, no one will ever break Keith Yandel's NHL Ironman record. George, is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, Keith Yandel broke it last night, earlier in the week. Broke it last night against the Islanders in a 4-3 loss for the Flyers. Sorry, Philly. It's like 18 straight losses for them in a row. I think it's 13 or 14, actually. But they can't play right now. So he did set the record. Congratulations to Keith Yandel. It's a fantastic streak in a very physical sport like hockey. He almost lost a streak at the beginning of last season when he was at the Florida Panthers, and they were going to sit him. You know, he's not the same player he used to be. They were going to sit him. They ended up, I guess, reconsidering because of the streak. He ended up having a pretty good season for them last year. So will anyone ever beat this? Guys, I am of the mind, any record like this in any sport, by the way, is not going to be broken. Because in this day and age with analytics and everything else, what are we taught? Players need rest. Right? We see this in baseball all the time, right? No one plays 162, or very few play 162 anymore because analytics tell you, give them a rest. Give them a rest once every 10 days, once every 2 weeks. It's better for them. It's better for them. Don't let them play through injuries because they'll play worse. Yeah, they'll be in a lineup, but their reputation's in a lineup. They're not the same player. Give them rest. Same thing here. 965 games is, I believe, what he set last night. That's the equivalent of, what, almost 12 seasons, right? You'd be lucky to play 12 seasons in the NHL, period, more or less, that you're going to play each and every game. So I will say this is a reality. No one will break this record. I don't think anyone's going to break the record in all sports for most consecutive games played. Reality for me.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you're right in basketball, right? Like, most guys don't even play an 82-game season. Now, I have a question for you, George, before I answer. Do the same things exist in hockey that exist in basketball, where the teams are very concerned about rest, like rest being a big part? Because in the NBA, it's massive. Now, is that true in hockey as well?
No, you don't have to worry about the late inactive because the guy's getting a rest. Not yet. At playoff time, like in all sports, if you're in it, sure. But not during the middle of the regular season for no reason. Generally, no.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You know what? I'm going to say reality, because I get the benefit of, I can answer this for the next 50 years or whatever. And for whatever reason, this has never made sense to me, but guys can play hockey forever. Certain guys who are, you know, some of the, you know, Zdeno Chara and some of those defenders, they play forever and ever and ever. You know, Brett Hull played in his 50s. Gretzky played till he was really old. And it's never made sense to me, because imagine taking one of those awful cross checks at 45 years old. I mean, I'm 29. I don't know if I could take a cross check from one of these guys and get back up. But I'm going to say I agree with your general point, but eventually, next 20, 30 years, someone will come along and do a Keith Yandle. So I'm going to say fantasy. Back to you, Brett.
All right. Well, our next question, Davis, we're going back to the New Orleans Saints, because defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, who was a head coach in the AFC West for a little bit before going to the Saints, looks like the primary candidate to take over for Sean Payton. Obviously, the Saints defense, very good this last season. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Dennis Allen is a good choice for Saints head coach. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is a fantasy. No more hiring defensive coaches. Just if you just start there, do not hire a head coach whose specialty is defensive coordinators, because what's going to happen is either they're not going to hire the right offensive coordinator because their coaching tree, the guys they know, the guys they are comfortable with, doesn't include really good offensive coordinators, or you get the problem of defensive coaches are way too conservative on offense. We see this time and time again. The coaches who come in with a defensive background, you know, your Mike Zimmers, your Joe Judges, these guys always lean too conservative. They don't like to go for it on fourth down. They want to trust the defense. They don't want to go for two because they want to trust the defense. I feel bad for guys like Dennis Allen, who are incredible defensive coaches. I mean, the New Orleans defense has been top 10 every year in terms of points scored and yards per play allowed for every year since 2017. Like, I feel bad for him that the reward is not going to be a head coaching job. But it, put simply, it's just far better to be an offensive head coach. So I am saying fantasy, George.
Yeah, I get all your points. I kind of agree with all your points, by the way. But I'm going to say he is a good choice for the Saints, because their offense isn't getting any better. You don't have a quarterback. I don't know what's going on with Michael Thomas, right? That was a weird situation. I don't think he wanted to play with Peyton anymore. That's my guess. He just had it with Peyton. They didn't want to deal, because to have the surgery that late, when you could have had it at any time, or it was a miscommunication, that made no sense to me. And then you couldn't play during the season. You missed 3-4 games, you end up missing the entire season. That's the guy I didn't want to play there. And I wonder if they're going to have to trade him, although that wouldn't help their cap situation. But that's the other problem. They're not adding many people here because they have cap problems here. The one thing the Saints have going for them is their defense. That'll keep them in games, especially if Tom Brady were to leave, if he were to retire. That's another division that, who knows? You know, if Tom Brady were to leave, I understand it's a big if. Right? I get that. But Carolina doesn't have a quarterback, right? Sam Darnold, you gave up draft picks for him, Matt. You gave up draft picks for Darnold. Good job. All right? So they're a trade wreck there. Atlanta, okay, you got the quarterback, but your defense is deplorable here. You know, I don't see them making any kind of big moves next season. The Saints would be right there with the rest of these teams. Now, if you want to tell me that Tampa Bay, well, if they don't have Brady, they'll go out and make a big move for another quarterback. I can't argue with you there, because I think that's what they'll do. So they'll still be the best team there. But if I'm New Orleans, I don't mind keeping Dan Quinn, giving him giving him a shot there. I don't here. So I'm going to say this is a reality for me. I'm going to keep him.
All right. Our last question. And George, we'll start with you, because Davis lives in a landlocked state, so he may not be the best person to answer this question. But George, did you know in the year 2021, shark attacks went up across the world? It was a pretty big year for shark attacks. Scientists are saying the pandemic might have something to do with this, but we're more focused on the shark part. So, George, you are afraid of going in the ocean. Is this a fantasy or reality?
How does the pandemic have anything to do with shark attacks? Are the sharks hungry? I mean,
more people want to be outside. More people want to be outside instead of inside.
All right. Okay. All right. Whatever. Am I worried about this? No, I'm not. There was a huge thing here. I was alive when Jaws came out, the movie Jaws, which is one of my favorite movies. And it was quasi Long Island where it was based on. So people were afraid back then. Oh, because of the Jaws movie. Yeah. Oh, we're not going to go on the water because of Jaws. No, I'm not afraid. If I'm going to get hit by a shark, I mean, this is like worrying about getting hit by lightning. What are the odds? You know, so no, you have a better chance of getting, you know, hurt in a car accident than you do it by Jaws. I'm not going to stop driving. All right, so no, I am not afraid of going in the ocean because of Jaws. I'm afraid of going in the ocean. I have no problem going in the ocean. But if I was to think of what worries me about in the ocean, I don't think a shark comes in my top five. Jellyfish, they do worry me somewhat because you don't want to get stung by those lovely creatures. They can be annoying here. Listen, for a while here on Long Island, we were worried about getting hit by needles. You know, garbage is being dumped in the ocean, and you might get stabbed by a hypodermic needle. That was a much bigger worry for me, and still would be over any kind of shark attack.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So if I lived in New York, I would certainly be afraid of getting in the ocean up there, right? Feeding out from the Hudson River. There's dead bodies and garbage and used cars up in there. I'm definitely reality. I'm afraid. Yeah, I'm afraid of getting in the ocean in New York. I mean, 0% chance am I taking a dip off of Long Island. That's definitely not happening. You're right. I am from a landlocked state. I have been in the ocean. I've been in the ocean in California, been in the ocean in the South. I don't even remember where we were. I think Alabama. But basically, no, not afraid of the ocean. I mean, afraid of deep parts of the ocean, like being out on a boat, like deep sea fishing or whatever. Would I get in a shark cage or something like that? I mean, I don't know. Maybe for the story, I would want to get in a shark cage. But fantasy, not afraid of, like, you know, dipping my toe in the ocean or whatever, or hanging out at the beach. But like deep ocean, going on a cruise, I would never go on a cruise. I mean, going on a cruise is like terrifying to me, being locked in the boat.
I love cruises. Rooms,
all that's, yeah, I mean, it's not for me, man. I'm not going on a cruise. I think there are cruise people and there are not cruise people, and I am not a cruiser. But that is going to go ahead and wrap up Fantasy or Reality. We learned some things about the ocean, but definitely do not take a dip in anything that is connected to the Hudson River. That's for sure. We're going to go ahead and take a break here on FST. We'll be back in a few seconds with the Sports Grid 60.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everyone, and welcome back to our final segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And as always, we end our show with a little something we call the Sports Grid 60.
All right, we talked about it earlier in the show. Baseball, the players and the owners got together the past couple of days here, and we're seeing some progress here. Guys, come on. Let's get this together. We're on January 26th now. I know we're still in football mode. We only got 3 football games left. The Pro Bowl does not count. And after that, I want to know that baseball is coming back. I know it's driving Craig Mish crazy. We want baseball. Yes, it would help our content greatly if we know baseball is returning here. But living here in the Northeast, Davis, I think you were saying there, it's cold. All right. One thing I love about once football ends and baseball spring training, it's going to get warmer. The boys of summer are going to return here. So, guys, keep up the momentum here. This is a couple of billion-dollar industry. Figure it out. There's money for everybody.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely right. I mean, guys, let's get baseball. Let's get it figured out. Come on. Mine is for the Tennessee Titans here. They sort of went all in this season. They owe Ryan Tannehill a mountain of money. They traded a second round pick for Julio Jones. And I'm actually going to have the controversial opinion here, which is that, yes, they were a fake one seed, but they have the pieces. They just need to add a little bit more, right? The Chiefs have multiple guys they can count on. The Cowboys have the third wide receiver. The Bengals have the third wide receiver. The Bills have five wide receivers they can count on. I would love to see the Tennessee Titans, whether it be in the draft, whether it be in free agency, add someone else in. Maybe make it so that Julio only plays on third downs. And in the red zone, you have another guy to sort of pick up the slack there. I just got a little Tennessee Titans brain worm here to end the show. Everyone, that is going to be it for us here today on Fantasy Sports on Sports Grid TV. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to George. Hope Craig had a good day. Thanks to everyone over at LTN. Everyone, we are out. Enjoy your day and stay on the grid.